From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's the Produce Pair, your food show on the enjoyment of fresh fruits and vegetables. What's in season? What's fresh? At the store, at the farmer's market, in your backyard, and on your table. Speaking of fresh, here's your host, America's Natural Grocers, Dan the Produce Man and Guido the Gardener.
Welcome to the Produce Pair on this fine, fine, lovely day in December. I'm Dan the Produce Man, and Guido the Gardener, I know, is sitting at the toll plaza, in between the toll plaza and the metering lights, coming onto the Bay Bridge. He'll be here in a little while.
So we have the produce single today then, huh?
That's right, produce single. And of course, joining me, and then when Guido gets here, joining us is Mark Todd, the cheese dude, live in the studio. Yes, you hear him every week, right around 9:32 a.m., but today, he is here live. That's right.
Live. At least that's what they call it today.
And, you know, I could tell he was here already because when I walked into the studio, I got this big whiff.
The eau de fromage?
Oh, yeah. It's down the hall and around the corner, too.
You know, I figure if it doesn't have a big aroma, you know, I mean, why waste your calories on it?
Well, cheese is supposed to smell like cheese, you know?
That's right. I mean, you know, they don't call it cutting the cheese for nothing, you know? I mean, that's...
Okay, well, hey, you know, we got a lot of good things lined up today.
Yes, we do.
It's the Saturday before Christmas, and I thought I'd play some Christmas music. That's why you heard the long intro there. Cheese is a great holiday platter for any holiday you happen to celebrate, whether it's Christmas or anything else.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, we've got it all covered here, you know?
Yes, we do. Mark Todd is known as the Cheese Dude, as you know. You can see his web page and bio on producepair.com. Just click the Cheese Dude button.
That's me.
Somewhere on there, and he will appear. Your eyes.
Although you may have second thoughts about that after he appears.
Well, you know. But you've done a lot in the cheese business, right?
Yeah, cheese has been pretty much my life for about the last, I'd say, dozen. I've been traveling the country, you know, spreading the gospel of cheese, the fabulous cheeses that are available from not only all around the world, but particularly around our country. We've had a renaissance of cheese in this country in the last decade or so that has rivaled the wine revolution of the 70s and the microbrew revolution of the 80s. When I first started getting into cheese, there was, at the American Cheese Society annual convention every year, there was about 200 and some odd different cheeses available from this country in Canada. This year in San Francisco, in August, there were 617 cheeses.
Holy guacamole.
That'll tell you how fast specialty cheese in this country is growing.
Yeah, you know, it certainly is. And, you know, you see cheese, right here we opened up, that's why you were able to find an easy parking spot.
That's right.
They opened up the Ferry Plaza Gourmet Market. The farmer's market moved over there.
Right.
And
moved upscale.
Absolutely. And you get the Cowgirl Creamery in there, mm-hmm. and a few other cheese places. And
right.
They just do a heck of a business.
Well, and the Cowgirl Creamery was the winner this year at the ACS National Cheese. The best cheese in the country was called Red Hawk that comes from, yes, Cowgirl Creamery.
Yeah, good stuff.
My name's Guido.
Hey, guess who showed up?
Boy, does it smell good in here.
You could probably smell from the parking lot out front, I'm sure.
Oh, this is marvelous.
Yeah, we've got, as I always say, you know, if it's not full flavored, you know, why waste your time?
Oh, this is marvelous.
So, without...
You know, I did have one question, though.
Ask away.
Where was the Cowgirl Creamery?
Yes.
Where is this... located?
Where are they located? They're in the Point Reyes area, in Marin County. Marin County is north of the Golden Gate Bridge. For people that aren't familiar with the with California, the geography around here, the further north you get in California and up into Oregon, the longer the growing climate is for grass and all the pasture things that cows like to eat. So you get great grass from here up north. Although that's where you hear about all the happy cows from California.
I believe it.
Because they have great grass.
That's
in Northern California,
that, you guys.
You've heard that.
We'll
before.
Be back. Okay, yes, we do have cheeses from around the world, don't we?
God, I want a copy
we'll have
of that.
Knives, too. We look like
hey,
we're...
We bring it all out for you.
That is just too much. I want a copy of that bump music. That is really groovy.
It is groovy, because we're groovy kind of guys.
And hey, I wanted to reiterate what we just heard in one of the spots there, the American farmland. That's Farm Trust is a great thing to do. People in Northern California have been getting into that for a while. Marin Agricultural Land Trust is a very large organization that puts away land that can be strictly used for agriculture so that we don't have continued strip mall sprawl and, you know, that type of stuff. America's paving over at a staggering rate, so we really should do something about that.
Absolutely.
And speaking of great grass and great Northern California, we've got the first cheese on our cheese plate today. We're going to be talking about cheese plates, which is what, you know, holiday type of thing is a good thing to do. Put out a cheese platter. Everybody likes to see that. The typical thing that you want to have in a cheese platter is variety. You want to have different types of milk, preferably like some goat, some cow, maybe some sheep if you're into that. You know, we won't get there. But I knew somebody would bite on that one. So anyway, we have four different cheeses out today, and we're going to start with a soft and fresh, which is from Northern California, and it is it's a goat cheese that comes from Cypress Grove. It's their black pepper Chev, one of my very favorites. Chev is a very goat version of cream cheese type. Mm-hmm. It's soft and spreadable, but it's also kind of crumbly and dry, like a dry cream cheese, and it's outstanding by itself. I like it with a little bit of flavoring in it. Black pepper is one of my very favorites. I like black pepper on most everything.
Yeah, me too.
It's got a little.
Let me try that Chev cheese.
Kind of
here.
Like a little, not like a sour taste. The little bit.
Oh, yeah, sure. It has
tart.
A tang to it. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a tart.
There you go.
That's common in all goat cheese.
Milk itself is a fairly tart milk, and it's also very easily digested, which is one of the reasons that a lot of doctors would have recommended goat's milk and goat's cheeses for people that have difficulty digesting cow's milk cheeses.
For the lactose intolerant of the crowd.
Yeah, and actually, it's not really the lactose that's different. It's the fat itself. The fat molecule in goat's milk is much smaller than the fat globules in cow's milk. The smaller that globule, the faster it will digest in your system. You know, the more surface area it has, the faster it'll go away. That means it won't sit in your stomach as long.
That's a tasty cheese.
That's a wonderful cheese. Cypress Grove is they've won dozens and dozens of awards throughout the year. Doing great things with goat's milk. They do some dried and aged goat's milk products. They do cheddars. They do things like Marble Mountain and Humboldt Fog, which is one of my very favorite cheeses in the world.
I think you sampled that to me somewhere. Yes. We were out on the road somewhere. We bumped into each other, and you were
some work with Cypress
that.
Grove. I think it was in San Ramon. That's a great cheese, and it's one of my very favorites.
Now, is this available in most supermarkets or mainly in gourmet stores?
It's available in most all of the upscale type grocery stores around the country. You'll be able to find Chev. The Cypress Grove Chev is fairly widely available. Humboldt, most around the country in the upscale gourmet grocery stores. You know, the Whole Foods types places and. The places that are really to the top end customer, because it's not an inexpensive cheese.
That Humboldt Fog is good for that northern grass.
You bet. Northern grass. You know, we got to get back to that.
No, that was wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great starter cheese, and you can have that on any day part: breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's good at almost any time of the day.
You know how I like to eat this again. Is with some sliced tomatoes
mm-hmm.
on some and like you said, lots of black pepper.
Right,
boom,
and it's straight up. No, you know, maybe a little drizzle of olive oil if you like to moisten it up a little bit. That's pretty much it. Yeah, that's good eating. And you know, the people in Italy have learned a long time ago that fewer, simpler ingredients, simply prepared, and the less you mess with it, the better it's going to be. And so that makes a perfect sense to me.
But what I like about it is a little tangy tartness to it.
Right, right. And that's kind of the fresh taste that you get with that. We've got we have four cheeses here.
We got a minute
and 18 seconds left to
yes,
talk about something here. So I was going to let you know that all the cheeses that we have today are from America. I really am trying to push domestic specialty cheese these days because I think the quality of it is outstanding. So we've got some from California. We have some from Wisconsin. We have some from all around. We have little manufacturers, big manufacturers, and everywhere in between. So we'll be talking about how great they go with fruits and vegetables, and particularly fruits this time of year. The pears that are outstanding with all of this stuff. And then I also eventually would love to get into the dried fruits, because I think around the holiday time is a perfect time to talk about dried fruits and the quality that's available and the variety that's out there now.
Beautiful. Hey, folks, today's Produce Pear Radio Show is brought to you by the Pear Bureau Northwest. Growers of delicious, nutritious Northwest pears. Get them at your local grocer today. We'll be back right after this. I'm Dan the Produce Man.
I'm Guido the Gardener.
And Mark the Cheese Dude.
Welcome to the National Cheese Emporium.
G'day, I am Australian Cheddar, an innocuous golden yellow rinder's block inspired by Cheddar and Edam. Welcome, Cheddar!
I am the British cheese Wensleydale, lightly pressed and smooth textured with a subtle milky flavour. flavor, which is clean and refreshing.
Welcome, Fletchley Diode!
I am the German cheese Edelpilskäse, a fine blue vein cheese with a pale ivory paste.
Okay, this can go on forever.
God, I just love that description, man.
No, I have a question.
Well, real quick, welcome back to the Produce Pair, folks.
We are back.
Produce Pair Radio Show, deviating from fruit in a small way because we got a lot of cheese here, but we are going to talk about fruit. I'm Dan, the Produce Man.
And I'm Guido the Gardener.
And I'm Mark the Cheese Dude.
That's right. And today's Produce Pair Radio Show is brought to you by the Pear Bureau Northwest, growers of delicious, nutritious Northwest pears.
Which we have a plethora of in front of us at the moment,
yes,
I see.
Yes, we do.
I'm glad to see that.
I'm going to cut up this Bosque pear.
Good.
It looks good to me. One of my favorites, Bosque.
There goes the surgeon. Look at these wires here.
You got a license to use that knife, son?
I got it in a Cheerios box.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're set then. So anyway, we were talking about cheese. The next cheese that we were going to be talking about is, from my favorite cut from Monty Python, the single most popular cheese in the world. And that would be cheddar still, even though mozzarella is giving it a run for its money in this country.
Oh, really?
Scary.
There's such a huge difference.
It's that pizza thing, man. You know.
Okay. So
people in this country.
Hey, there's good I think I remember last time there are really good mozzarella. Now,
absolutely.
There's really cheap mozzarella.
Yeah, yes, there is.
But you put a mozzarella up against a cheddar, you got two different things.
You're right.
But you know what? If you sprinkle some cheddar onto a pizza as well, it definitely enhances it.
It's probably one of the most popular blends of cheese in the country for pizzas. Has provolone, mozzarella, and cheddar. That is used at probably, I don't know, a large percentage of mom-and-pop pizzerias around the country because the cheddar not only gives it a better mouthfeel. Today we've got, from our friends Sargento in Wisconsin, we have some extremely old cheddar. It was 50-month-old when it was put in the package, and I'd guess it's more like 5 years old now. Outstanding. It's an orange cheddar, which is a traditional Midwest-style cheddar.
50, that's
over 4 years. It's probably pushing 5 years now.
Over 4 years.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Very full-flavored cheese. When cheddar gets old like that, it breaks up very easily. It has an interesting texture because it's crumbly and creamy at the same time.
Right.
It'll crumble in your hands, and then as soon as you put it in your mouth and start to get it warm, it'll just cream up and has just an amazing texture. That texture is part of the reason that people just love it so much because it has that creamy, dense texture that just continues great flavor.
Now, not with this cheese, but with other aged cheddars that I've had before, and I'm not even going to mention where they're from.
No, any steaks that start with a B.
Go ahead.
Like a little sparkles of grit here and there. What is that?
Well, anytime you have a cheese that's going to be sitting around for this length of time, some of the calcium and the other minerals will start to precipitate out of the body of the cheese and they'll form what we call little cheese diamonds. It's nothing to be worried about. They're fine and dandy.
They're pleasurable. They're not.
They are. They're more of a small texture than anything. Now, if you see a piece of cheddar that has on the outside of it, it has a whole lot of white, crusty type stuff on it that looks like salt or something, that has been sitting around and gotten abused a little bit, and that's starting to be that may be a little bit bitter at the rind. You'll want to trim that off very carefully. But in general, cheddars will age for a fair amount of time. If they're designed to age, a specific make procedure to make them designed to age, they can age up to 10, 12 years.
Oh, man, jeez. I'd like to taste that.
But they've got to be prepared.
Yes.
Especially to do that.
There's all different ways of making cheddar. The biggest difference is the moisture. The less moisture in the cheese, the longer it will last. So if they're making cheeses that are designed for long hold, they're usually a little bit lower moisture than the what you'd call the supermarket cheddar.
Now, Sargento, I've seen around. That's a common name.
Oh, it is. That's a big name. The Gentine family in Wisconsin has been a long time. They're one of the big players. That's why I said I wanted to bring some of the big names and some small names both.
Very good. Hey, folks, time flies when you're having cheese. We're going to get into cheese and dried fruit. Guido has some pears here and a little bit more here on a produce pear. Happy holidays. We'll be back after this.
They enjoy their food. They don't think the food is a status symbol. They enjoy what they're eating. Chopped liver, potato chips, tomatoes, latkes, whatever they eat. They enjoy their food. But as soon as they give a guy a job as a financial consultant, give him a walk on Wall Street or Park Avenue, and give the schmuck a briefcase, I'll bet you 10 seconds later, he loves brie. Would you like to have some brie? Oh, we always eat brie. We love brie. We love brie. Oh, it's my favorite thing, brie. Do you have brie? Oh, we always eat brie. If you eat brie, it smells, it stinks, it hangs all over the building. They don't know if you eat the top, the bottom. They're walking around rushing to hold it. Oh, I love it. I love it. And if you don't like it, they always tell you the same thing. You have to develop a taste. You know why you have to develop a taste? Because it stinks. Anybody ever tell you to develop
always
a taste
for
potato chip? Nobody told you that. You know why? It tastes good. When something stinks, you have to develop a taste.
Okay,
oh,
Jackie
God, that
Mason.
Is too funny.
Hey, were they talking about Gorgonzola?
Who?
Well, that's, Brie.
Who's
that's
they?
Brie.
Yeah, no, I
that
know.
Was,
but
that was
Brie.
One guy, not they.
They.
How many did you hear, Guido?
Well, it's been,
just,
I've been
just wondering, you know.
I've been coming in and out. Where they're
yeah, late as usual. Yeah,
yes, they're testing my medications. Yes.
Okay, well, when they change it, that's when we got to watch out. Huh?
Exactly. So anyway, here we have some of these wonderful cheeses. I didn't bring any Brie today. Too bad. We could continue on with that wonderful discussion there.
We'll save that for another show.
Yeah. Hey, so.
While we were on the break, I had some of this very tasty 50-month-old cheddar with a hunk of this Bosque pear. And it was very, very still nice and, you know, it was breaking some. It was it wasn't brick hard, but it wasn't real soft. There you go.
Yes, it is.
In
yes.
One word, it takes me 20. But but it was very tasty.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
There you go.
And that's why it's so easy to fill airtime with you.
Yeah, okay. Folks,
they're
picking on me.
On you.
They're
yeah,
picking on
that's
me.
That's right. You're not paranoid. They are after you. So the next cheese we've got, we're going from one of the larger manufacturers in the country, the Sargento name, down to one of the smallest. Some people that are near and dear to my heart, Three Sisters Cheese from down in beautiful Lindsay, California.
Yes.
Lindsay, where's that?
Gosh, have you ever seen the big cans of black?
Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah,
where they
that's
come
it.
From.
That's right.
If you,
down in the valley?
If you go to Visalia, you know, like south of Fresno, you hit right. Visalia. You keep going south into the foothills and a little bit east, and you find beautiful downtown Lindsay. That is the home of Three Sisters Farmstead Cheese. A beautiful young woman named Marisa Hilarides, who makes one cheese called Serena, and we have that here today. It's a very complex cheese.
I can't
it's
wait.
In a very full flavor table cheese. Yeah, that's the one right there. It.
Thank you.
It has a lot going on. Very full flavored, as I said. It has about 10 months to a year's age on it. And the flavor is somewhere between provolone, Romano, but it's a very complex cheese and has won some awards around the country as far as great farmstead cheese.
Woo!
Yeah, you can tell that cheese has a lot going on for it just by looking at it.
Yes, exactly.
It's, and it does have those little diamonds, those
absolutely.
Cheese diamonds.
Now, that color's like a Romano color, isn't
it? It is. It's very much like a Romano. It changes throughout the year and depending on what the cows have been nibbling on, but it goes anywhere from a fairly light white down to the, it gets...
Yeah, fairly dark.
A fairly dark tan, and it's a beautiful cheese, though. It comes in great 20-pound handmade wheels that are just gorgeous. And I think it's one of those cheeses that once you've had it, the flavor of it will stay with you for a long time. You'll remember that
word.
One. She's very proud of it, and as I am, too. I think it's a great cheese. I think she's done a fabulous job on that one.
Can this grate, by the way?
You can shred it. I don't typically grate it. It's a little bit too high moisture for grating.
What if you froze it?
I would never freeze cheese. Freezing
really?
Cheese is like freezing your best vegetables. They don't come out quite the same anymore. If you do a really low moisture cheese like Parmesan and grate it up, you can put that in the freezer for a few weeks up to a month or two. But a cheese that's in full-bodied form, it will turn into a very nasty, chalky mess when you freeze it. It's like freezing vegetables. The little cells explode.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, yeah.
Exudes all their moisture, all the oils, and the flavor just dissipates.
That's true, because, you know, when you're working in the produce stand and customers come up and they see you putting broccoli on the shelf, there's a bunch of ice in the box.
Yeah.
They go, that was frozen. No, it's not.
No,
it's just
ice packed.
To keep it nice and cold.
Right.
But it's not frozen.
Right.
Otherwise,
and if it does freeze,
mush.
I was going to say, if it does freeze, they call that, you know, broccoli cream or something. Mm,
that's right. But
isn't that
I
a great cheese?
I was told that if I wanted to grate blue cheese onto some cooked dish or something, to freeze it first and then run it over a grater. But you don't recommend that at all.
And I would love to see the cheese person that recommended that you do
it
that.
It wasn't a cheese person. That's why.
Nice.
If you want
an imposter.
If you want to put... To get blue cheese into small pieces to crumble it like on a salad,
yes.
You can take about a half an inch slab of it, cut about a half an inch thick piece of it, put it on a piece of aluminum foil, and put it in the freezer, but only for about 5, 6, 7 minutes. Let it get good and cold, Don't let it freeze. Get it very cold, take it out, and it'll crumble nicely for you. That's how you get crumbled blue cheese.
That's probably what they meant.
But don't freeze it. You definitely do not want to freeze cheese because you will change the texture.
Okay.
Well, so there we go. We'll talk a little bit more about Farmstead when we get back.
Hey, folks, we're the Produce Pair. www.producepair.com is where you'll find us on the internet. That's Produce Pair, PAIR.com. And also, check out those Northwest pears because they go great with the food that we're talking about today. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Now back to the Produce Pair.
She told me I was weird. She called me a freak. She called me a loser and she called me a geek. I didn't like that, so I turned around and said, wild violet's blue and they call her roses red. Guys, I built this boat from various sets of cheese. Cheddar, mozzarella, and I'm on a rage jack. I'm going on a voyage of ease on a boat made of cheese called a Monterey Jack.
Okay,
where do you find this stuff? I am in awe. I'm just in awe.
You know, we got to have cheese music for a cheese show.
I'm in awe.
Hey, Dan, I tell you, we are the Produce Pair, and this is, the Produce Pair radio show, but the bumper music today about cheese, we've got to enter it in some award.
I'm telling you, that's world class bump music.
Yes,
definitely,
you have really outdone yourself today.
It is the cheese shop. That's right.
So anyway, we're gonna finish up with what we were talking about. At least one of the subjects. Hopefully, we were talking about the Serena Farmstead cheese. And on the break, they asked me what's Farmstead mean.
Right.
Well, in the world of specialty cheese, there's really three designations. There's anything. Anything that's referred to as specialty or anything like that is just generic. Means nothing. Means whatever they want it to mean. If it says artisan, an artisan cheese,
I've seen that. Yep.
That means that it was made in small batch, by real human beings. If it says farmstead, that means that it was made on the farm where the cows or sheep or goats were actually milked, so that it's made right on the premises.
And the sheep and the goats make the cheese themselves.
Only if they're very well trained.
Yeah.
Davis is still working on that, but we'll see what they can do for us. If a farmstead cheese, that's the way it was made traditionally.
Farmstead is like smaller.
Very small.
Artisan is a little bit bigger.
It can be. Artisan just means that the cows or sheep's or goats were not on the premise where the cheese was made.
Oh, okay.
It can be just as small as a farmstead. And in fact, farmstead operations can be quite large. There's one in the Central Valley that's called Fiscalini that does cheddars and other cheeses like that. Fantastic cheddars. He's won best farmstead cheese in the country 2 years running at the American Cheese Society. And his cheddars are outstanding. He makes big 75-pound natural bandage cheddars. But he's fairly large scale, but it is farmstead. He owns all the cows. He does all the milking. Ah. It's all done right there.
Mm-hmm. And so you produce a better quality because you got more control over what kind of milk you're getting and how it works.
That and the travel time. If you think of it like from a winery, if you pick the grapes this morning at Joe's Vineyard and then put them in a truck and haul them down the Central Valley or down Sonoma Valley during the hot part of the sun, the grapes are going to start to deteriorate. They're going to start to ferment right in the truck.
Sure, they still have the field heat in them.
Exactly. Right, so if you can pick them and put them immediately into a stem or crusher right on the spot, like an estate bottled, an estate grown, means it was grown right on the estate where the wine was made. Same thing with milk. If you put it into a vat or into a truck and haul it down the road and sell it to your neighbor who's going to make the cheese, every time you transfer it, it starts to deteriorate the flavor. If you can milk the cows, run it into a vat, and make the cheese while it's still warm from the cows, you're going to get all the natural flavor from the cows.
Wow.
And this is the raw milk, too. She makes this with completely raw milk, non-heat treated, no thermized, no pasteurized, nothing. So you get all of the flavor and all of the flurry from the natural milk, and that's what gives it that incredible depth of flavor.
That is absolutely amazing.
It is. It's amazing cheese.
It is a truly amazing cheese.
Okay, that's some good education today.
Indeed. So that's more than you ever wanted to know about that. Last cheese that we've got here today, I wanted to move on to, is really my favorite with pears. It's a crumbly style or a picante mountain style gorgonzola. This one comes from Wisconsin. It's from the Bel Gioioso cheese company.
Well, this is pretty soft.
It is. Gorgonzolas are always going to be soft. This is the harder of the two versions. There's a creamy version referred to often as dolce, which just means creamy or sweet milk. And that's the young version. It's very soft and creamy. As it ages, it starts to get a little bit more firm, textured. And this one is a little bit more aged. Gorgonzola's, as compared to most other blue cheeses, traditionally old in it. It was a little bit more greenish, grayish, a little less blue. And it was known as a more earthy flavor. It had more of an earthy background to it as opposed to some of the more sharp or piquant northern blues, like some of the Roqueforts from France and such, which are very sharp.
Very salty, too.
Well, all blue cheeses are going to be fairly salty.
Wow.
Salt goes into cheese, but as one of the things that keeps cheese from rotting, basically.
Sure.
It keeps from digesting itself. And so, blue cheeses, with the addition of the additional molds in there, are going to have more of a tendency to ripen quickly, so a little bit more salt in there will help retard that action.
You're right on the money with being one of the favorites. That's one of favorites as well. Any kind of blue,
yep.
I'm into it in a big way.
Folks, absolutely, positively, without a doubt, this holiday season, go get some Northwest USA pears, Bosque pears, and
Gorgonzola.
That Gorgonzola.
Mm-hmm.
Other blue cheese may work.
Yeah, most all blue cheeses will do quite well with pears.
Yeah, get some Kumis, too.
Oh, heavens, the Murgatroyd. That combination is staggering.
Yeah, well, there's the food science people have tried to explain it to me, and with my extra dense brain, it's kind of tough, but there's evidently enzymes that are at work in blue cheese, that ripen the blue cheese, that are very similar to, if not the same, as enzymes that are found in the skin of a pear. So when you do a pear and a blue cheese combination, your tongue really gets confused as to which one it's hitting first, sweet or the salty. They really juxtapose in your mouth.
Okay, we got 40 seconds to try this.
There's nothing like a confused tongue.
I know.
We hear them speak all the time, don't we?
Now, this Kumis is a little bit firmer.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm gonna try
but it's beautiful. And this is what I'm talking about, a cheese board. We've had a nice, soft, fresh goat's cheese. We've had an aged blue cheese. We've had aged cheddar. We had an Italian-style table cheese. So you get a great variety of textures, flavors, colors also. And then you mix them with some nice fresh fruits and some of the fabulous dried fruits that are available now. And you get a great combination.
Okay, we're going to talk about dried fruit and cheese when we come back with Mark Todd, the cheese dude, on the Produce Pair. Don't go away.
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese? What do they call it?
They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
Say cheese!
Say cheese and smile.
Cheese!
Yummy! Okay, welcome back to the Produce Pair with Mark Todd the Cheese. Oh, you can't hear? Mark can't hear. Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, now I can hear real well.
Oh, sorry, Guido.
Now we can all hear.
Oh, there's your headphones. Oh, yeah. I knocked them down.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
That's what you get for trying to rearrange everything during the break.
This is what happens when you do a show in a studio as opposed to the Produce Pair Test Kitchen, where we used to do our show
in
the Produce Pair Test Kitchen.
Right.
We have dried fruit here.
Yes, we do.
And I have a dried fig.
I've got Kalmyrna figs. And Black Mission figs. We also have some pineapple, and this stuff is all organic. And I want you to try the dried pineapple for a reason, because
I'll try that.
This is not like dried pineapple that you get in the store that is loaded down and coated with sugar.
Wow,
this is truly dried pineapple, and it's got all the natural flavors of pineapple in it. So it's not like eating candy. It is in a way, but you're not going to get all that fake sugar that they put on a lot of dried pineapple that's out there.
It tastes like pineapple upside down cake.
Hey, well, there you go.
I mean, it tastes just like caramelized pineapple.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of having the organic pineapple. And I might as well plug the folks that make this, because this is something I do sell.
And why wouldn't you?
Made in nature. Organic
made
pineapple.
Made in nature.
That's right.
That is good.
It's hard to be organic if it isn't made in nature, I understand.
That's true. And real quick, if I can pick it up.
You got another?
It's live radio, folks.
Anything else you want to drag out of there?
Yeah, speaking of pears, what do we call? The mother son's... scouts. Wait, put it that way.
I'm not sure what you
call. Don't ask him about his family. It's quite confusing.
No, my son.
This person
is in Cub Scouts, and the mother of one of the other boys in the Cub Scout troop gave me a recipe that I asked her for. It's cranberry maple pear pie, and it's very simple. And I'm going to put this on our website for all you folks out there who want to make this for Christmas. But cranberries, maple syrup. Pears peeled and cored, and some cornstarch and some water, and of course you combine all that. You also have to have a pie shell. Delicious.
You get it all together and you put it in a pie.
Yes, that's right.
Hey, while you guys were yakking, I was eating.
What a surprise!
That, yeah, And that Kalmyrna fig.
Yes.
With that Gorgonzola.
Works okay too, huh?
Yes, because you get the intense sweetness from the Kalmyrna fig.
Right.
And a little bit of the saltiness and the creaminess.
Right.
From that cheese.
Well, that's why, that's in my opinion, that's some of the finest eating in the world is done with aged or blue cheeses and dried fruits. Dried fruits really, I mean, in days past, it was just like cheese. You know, 20 years ago, you went to a cheese counter in the United States and you had your choice of orange or white. Now you go in and there's, you know, 200 or 300 different types of cheeses available. It's the same thing with dried fruit. You know, 20 years ago, you had your choice. Did you want raisins or prunes? And now you go out and there's dozens, if not 100 or more different fruits available dried. Everything from sweet cherries, dry cherries, tart cherries, raspberries, crayon raspberry, you name it, they've got it dried and ready to go now. And it's all really good quality. There's great stuff available so that you can have fruit that was picked at the peak of its flavor available all year round. You know, you go a lot of grocery stores you go into now and you'll see fruit on the shelf 365 days a year. Well, you know, I don't know where you come from, but my trees and bushes don't fruit 365 days a year. That stuff's coming from somewhere or being stored somewhere.
No, it's coming from around the world fresh.
Right. Well,
I mean, there is some storage involved in getting product here on boats, yes.
Right. Well, go up in the Northwest and look at the apple vaults that are sitting up there.
Absolutely.
You know, and things like that so that you can have apples year-round.
Yes, that is correct. It put them in suspended animation. But, you know, when it comes to drying fruit, and I'm sorry I ran out before we did this program, but over the summer I dried Blenheim apricots.
Oh, yeah.
I dried Dapple Dandy pluots. And I dried white peaches and white nectarines and yellow nectarines.
Stone fruit's outstanding.
It just comes out. The white flesh stuff comes out like candy.
Mm-hmm.
And the yellow stuff is a little tart. And I just, after I dried it all, I put it all in a big giant bag and mixed it.
Right.
And we just ate that fruit and over and over.
Of course, I got how much of this?
Well, you know,
I got, that's about what I get, too.
Don't prep.
That's it. And how many times have I been here that I didn't bring you guys cheese?
Oh, I know. We got to feed them better.
But I brought you something today, didn't
that's
I?
True. That's okay. True. And I'm loving it. Pears are one of my very favorite fruits.
This was good, too. The goat cheese and the figs.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, folks, for your holiday, don't forget the pears and don't forget the cheese.
That's it.
At all.
That's
right?
It. This is holiday time. It's time to have fun with cheese. It's time to have fun with neighbors. Cheese and fruits with breads and nuts makes a great meal itself. It's easy to put together and it's a lot of fun for entertaining.
Now, where can folks find you locally in the Bay Area? You're appearing at stores and everywhere,
I'm pretty much all over the place. I do some Whole Foods work. If email me at thecheesedude@AOL.com, anybody that's got the cheese questions going on out there. But pretty much I'm just on the road.
Do we have a link on our site?
Yes, we do. We have a whole bio on Mark Todd. Okay.
Wow.
That's what I was thinking.
Good to know.
What do you think of that? Hey, thanks for joining us today again, Mark Todd. We always enjoy having you.
Guys, it is always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Happy holidays. Enjoy yours.
That's right.
And everybody in Produce Bear radio show listening land, enjoy your holidays.
That's right. Here's a message for you. We'll see you next week. Time for war. Fade away. For the battle of the sea. Let us live in harmony. And let the whole world see peace. Everybody sing now. Let there be peace.